بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
We're still studying the chapter that deals with jihad in our series of عمدة الأحكام. And hadith number 405 and 406 talk about a topic that we discussed last program, so we will just read through them, inshallah. Who would read it? Yes, akhi.
Abu Ayyub narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a journey undertaken for jihad in the morning or evening in the way of Allah is better than anything on which the sun rises or sets.
And the following hadith as well?
Hadith number 406, narrated Anas, the Prophet said, a journey undertaken in the morning or evening for jihad in the way of Allah is better than anything in the world and what is in it.
Yes, that's good. So we spoke about that and we said that either the journey in the morning or the evening, or watching and guarding in the cause of Allah, or fighting in the cause of Allah, all of this cannot be measured with the wealth in this life. So if someone says to a warrior in the cause of Allah, in a just battle, in a just cause. Now, we're not referring to terrorists. We're not referring to killing civilians. This is not jihad. We're not referring to indiscriminate killing. We're talking about a proper jihad. Islam versus kufr, versus anyone attacking the religion or the Muslims. This is a legitimate jihad. It has to be carried through. This cannot be measured by any means to what we have today. So if someone comes and says, Akhi, don't fight the enemies and I'll give you $1 billion or €1 trillion, what would you do? Definitely, I'll take it. Well, then you're not a proper Muslim. Ya Sheikh, it's a lot of money. Yes, but you don't know what awaits you in paradise. Ah, Sheikh, I'm not sure if I'm going to find something. Then, okay, in this case, take the money. Because you're not a Muslim, to begin with. If you're not sure, then you have no iman, no conviction, no belief in the unseen. A true believer is not like this. But again, I reiterate and emphasize and underline that we're talking about what? Proper jihad, and not about terrorist attacks or suicide bombing or things of that sort. Moving on to hadith number 407. Okay, the brother.
Abu Qatadar narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who has killed an enemy and can bring evidence to prove it will get his belonging. He said it thrice.
Okay, hadith number 408.
Narrated Salma bin al-Akhwa, an infidel spy came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was on a journey. The spy sat with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and started talking and then went away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chased and killed him, so I killed him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gave him the belongings of the killed spy. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, who killed the man? We said, it was Salama. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give him all of his belongings.
Okay, from these two hadiths, we learn one of the rules of jihad. And what are these rules? We learn, and from the other hadiths to come, that there are different kinds of booty of war. So there is something called ghanima, and there is something called fay, and there is something called salab. I'm not going to talk about the first two. I'm going to talk about the salab. What is the salab? The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one who has killed an enemy and can bring evidence to prove it will get his belongings. Meaning that any person in the battlefield, when you kill an enemy combatant, Islam gives you everything on that man. Because you killed him, it's a reward for you to take his watch, his wallet, his boots, his shoes, his clothes, whatever you want. Anything on him, if he has arm a shield, a sword, a gun, all of this is a reward to the person who managed to kill this enemy combatant. And the Prophet in this hadith says, who can provide evidence? Because what happens at battlefield, I say, I killed this man. He said, no, I killed him, and I killed him. Everyone claims to kill him, so they have to present an evidence for their killing, whether to say that I shot him in this place or that place, or I used this caliber or used this method, or I have witnesses saw me fighting with him, etc. And this is one of the beautiful rewards of Islam, because you fought and you put your life on the line and Allah Azza wa Jal granted you victory over this person and you killed him. Therefore, you are entitled to his reward. In hadith of Salam ibn al-Aqwa', may Allah be pleased with him, and we spoke about him, and he was one of the great warriors of Islam. There was a spy who came and sat with the companions trying to collect information, and they did not know about him as a spy. When he left, the Prophet told the companions that this was a spy, send someone to kill him. Salama immediately went and finished him off. And he took everything that was on him as a salab, a reward. And in another narration, the Prophet asked who killed him, and they told him Salama. So the Prophet told them to give him everything that this spy has on him. And there is a difference between killing a spy and killing a messenger. In Islam, it is prohibited to kill the messenger. So if we have enemies sending to us a messenger with a message saying that we will kill you, we will do this to you, we will burn your houses, out of anger, usually people, what would they do? Kill the messenger. In Islam, it is prohibited totally to kill the messengers. A spy, on the other hand, is not, because he is an enemy and he has no pledge or no treaty between him and us. A messenger, by default, is given security when he comes to the enemy. So if we send a messenger or they send a messenger, the messengers have total security. No one can harm them and they have to be given security in their way in and out. Spies, no, they don't have this luxury. They can be killed on the spot. We move on to Hadith 409. And who will read that? Okay, 409, the brother there.
It has been narrated on the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent an expedition to Najd, and I was among the troops. They got a large number of camels and sheep as a booty. 11 or 12 camels fell to the lot of every fighter, and each of them also got one extra camel.
Okay, hadith number 413.
Narrated, Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, the properties of Bani An-Nadir, which Allah had transferred to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as five booty, were not gained by the Muslims with their horses and camels. The properties therefore belong exclusively to Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to give his family their yearly expenditure and spent what remained thereof on arms and horses to be used in Allah's cause.
Very good. What do we learn from these two hadiths? We learn that there is, from hadith 410, there is something that is called ghanima. And 413 tells us about fai booty. What's the difference? Ghanima is whatever the Muslims gain through fighting. So if you fight an army, if you surround a village and you conquer it and there is bloodshed and fighting, whatever booty you get, this is called what? Ghanima. And what to do with it is different than al-fay. So what is al-fay? The hadith 413 talks about Bani Nadir. Bani Nadir were Jews. When they broke their treaty with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam surrounded them and they gave up and wanted to surrender. So there was no fighting, no killing, no war. What did they do? The Prophet ﷺ's friend, one of his companions, killed two by mistake, thinking that they were from the enemy. So the Prophet wanted to give the families the blood money, 200 camels, 100 camel each. He didn't have the money. So he went to the Jews of Bani Nadir so that he would request a loan, request some help to pay this blood money. So they told him, okay, just wait and we will get you the money. And they deliberated between themselves that this is the perfect chance. Now or never. This is the only chance we can what? Assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. Let someone go from top of the house and drop a rock on him. Allah Azza wa Jal informed his messenger. So the Prophet went back to Medina ﷺ, and then he surrounded them and they said, khalas, we're leaving. Some of them left to Khaybar, some of them left to Asham, some of them left to other countries. Leaving all of their properties, their arms, their gold. They can only take what the camel can take. So even their windows, some of them took it off. And this is Surah Al-Hashr in the Quran. Now, what did the Prophet ﷺ do with this fate? This is what we will find out after the break. So stay tuned.